All right, church, thanks for checking in. We're going to finish out Joshua chapter 15 today. It is a big, long list of cities in the territory of Judah for in the land of Israel. I'm picking this up after a week off. So you didn't miss anything. I wasn't here. I took Holy Week off this year for the purpose of keeping it holy. Stayed home with my family, and we had family devotions together every morning and every evening. We sang together, we memorized scripture together, prayed together, studied the Bible together, morning and evening. And then we did family work projects, family fun projects. We had family and friends come over, and we went over to other family and friends' places. And we had a tremendous week. And I'm not sharing this to brag or to boast or to make you feel bad or something, but we made an intentional decision, and it's been evolving over the past several years. We have been trying to keep Holy Week holy and make family traditions out of it that build us up together in the Lord. And it's taken a lot of intentional effort to do it. I had to actually take time off and just not go into work. Now, we did come in a couple days because we did family work projects, and some of those family work projects were here in the church. I had the kids build the baptistry for us, set the baptistry up. I showed them how, and they got to do it. And we did the food drive Saturday together. It was a work project and a few things like that. But I wasn't at work. It was the family doing a family work project. And we did other stuff around the house, and it was tremendous. My kids said it's their favorite week of the year now. And that was just a great thing of great joy for me and Jennifer to be able to say, hey, we set out, we felt the Lord telling us to do this, and we're doing it, and it's actually working. We want them, we wanted it to be their favorite week. That's literally how we defined success. We said, what do we want? We want this to be the best week of the year. We want them to love it and look forward to it. And that's what they said. We didn't even ask them. They just started talking about it. So anyway, with that off to the side, I would encourage you to do it yourself. Take Holy Week off, or make some week your Holy Week, and take it off and make it holy on purpose. But here in Joshua chapter 15, there's a really long list of cities. Starting in verse 21 all the way through verse 63. So it's 42 verses. Pretty much all of them, pretty much everything in these verses is literally just lists of cities. There's almost no content in terms of historical action taking place, narratives or teachings or prophecies. There's nothing. It's just literally just a list of cities. In fact, several years ago when we were relatively young as a church, I guess we still are, we're only not even 8 years old, but a few years ago when we were even younger, we always put the Bible reading plans out, the bookmarks to tell you what, read it through it in a year. And I had downloaded a Bible reading plan off of some ministry website. I didn't really look at it. It just said, read the Bible in a year. Made sure it was the Bible and not other stuff. And said, read the whole Bible in a year. I'm like, okay, great. I didn't go through and itemize it. Well, when it got to here to Joshua 15, it literally just skipped these chapters, these big, long lists of cities, just skipped them. And they didn't count. Not doing that. People started saying, hey, Pastor, how come it skipped Joshua? I'm like, oh, whoops. So we got rid of those. But all that to say, this is not always easy reading. You're literally just reading a list of cities, and usually the cities are impossible to pronounce, and you don't know what they even are. Okay, but guess what? It's the Bible. It's God's word. These are cities in a real place. Judah is a real territory in a real place, part of the kingdom of Israel. It's a real thing, the land of Israel. It's a real place. It's God's place, and it's written down. So guess what? It's worth studying. That's why you have a map in the back of your Bible. That's why you're listening to this podcast on a device that has maps on it. You could easily just look up these places and find a map, and it'll help you piece together what you're reading throughout the Bible. And many of these places come up frequently in the Bible. So I'm not going to go through and make you find on a map every one of these things, not in this podcast anyway. I think it would be valuable to do. I really do, but not in a podcast. It would have to be in person with the actual maps up. But I do want to show you, highlight a few of them that will jog your memory of other events in the Bible that you know of, and maybe remind you that you should be reading your whole Bible because these places are important. So verse 28 mentions Beersheba. Hazar, Shual, Beersheba, and Biziothia. That's verse 28, just as an example. It's just a list of three places hard to pronounce. But Beersheba is important. It's the southernmost, generally considered the southernmost city of Israel. There's a phrase that you'll see often in your Bible that says, from Dan to Beersheba. Dan is the far north, Beersheba is the far south. And so that's just it's a geographical unit that shows you what the north and south borders of Israel are. Dan to Beersheba. Abraham made a treaty at Beersheba over some wells he had dug. Isaac, his son, also made a treaty at Beersheba over some wells he had dug. There's constant stuff going on there. Jacob spent time there. Hagar spent time there. Elijah spent time there. It's an important place. southernmost city, it's part of Judah. All right, verse 31, Ziklag, Madmena, and Sansanna. Okay, Ziklag is a small town, not very noteworthy, but it's noteworthy for one thing. David spent time there, David and his men. They left Ziklag in the morning, went off to battle, won the battle, and came back to their hometown of Ziklag, which was a small town, and found it burned to the ground. And their families, their wives and children, all their belongings had been taken. And so after this battle, they have to go chase them down, and they rescue everybody, and everybody's safe, and God provided for them. And it's just a short little episode in one of the many things David was doing before he became king that sharpened up his faith, and he was calling out to the Lord and seeking God, and just he was at a very low point when he came home and found his city burned. That's Ziklag. Let's see there, verse 33, and in the lowland Eshtaol, Zorah, Ashna. That's the whole verse. Eshtaol is one of the that's where Samson was born. The big, strong, one of the judges of Israel. He's born in Eshtaol. He's buried in Eshtaol. His father's buried in Eshtaol. It is close and often associated with the Philistines, who, of course, we know Samson spent his entire life fighting the Philistines, and they spent their entire time fighting him. That's Eshtaol. You be familiarize yourself. Read Judges. You'll see it all the time in Samson's life. Verse 35, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soko, and Azekah. Adullam. There is a cave in Adullam. The cave of Adullam. Adullam, I don't know how to pronounce it. David spent time there. David was on the run from Saul not long after he killed Goliath. King Saul just went nuts, went crazy. Paranoid, angry, the Spirit of God left him. And he was paranoid about David, and he's going to try to hunt down David, and says David found refuge in the cave of Adullam, and his brothers and men from all over Israel who had been marginalized, who had been brushed off to the side, gathered to David. And this is where David began his life on the run from Saul, but also began his life of building up a military force that would eventually become his army. His mighty men were part of this, and it started at the cave of Adullam. All right, verse 40, Kabon, Laman, Chitla, Gederoth, Beth Dagon, Nema, Makeda. Sorry, that was verse 41. Makeda, we already saw this in the book of Joshua. Makeda is where five kings went to war against Joshua and Israel, led by the king of Jerusalem, who is kind of an antichrist figure. We studied him. Adonai Bezek was his name. And they were captured at a cave, the caves of Makeda, the cave of Makeda, and they were killed there, these five kings. All right? You just read that recently in Joshua. Verse 44, Keilah, Akzib, and Mirasha, nine cities with their villages. It's after a paragraph that listed nine cities. Keilah is a city in which David and his men were staying, and Saul with his entire army went off to kill David, and David's in the city of Keilah, kind of a town, it seems like a small town, and he finds a priest, and he wears the ephod, the priestly garment, and he prays to God, and he seeks God, and says, God, are these men of Keilah going to protect us here from Saul, or are they going to turn us over to Saul? And God says, you best hit the road. Keilah is not going to be loyal to you. They're going to turn you over to Saul. Get out of there. Noteworthy thing. David is not of the tribe of Levi. David is not a descendant of Aaron. He is no reasonable ordinary situation that he should be wearing a priestly ephod. And yet he does, and yet God blesses him over it. There's another occasion when he ate the bread of the presence. They fed it to him and his men. And he kind of blurs that line between king, line of Judah, and priest. And of course, Jesus is going to fulfill that. He's king of kings, and he's the highest of all high priests. He's outside the order of Aaron. He's greater than that, right? study that someday. But verse 45, Ekron with its towns and its villages. Verse 47, Ashdod, its towns and villages. Gaza, its towns and villages. Gaza, Ashdod, Ekron, these are Philistine cities. These are Philistine cities that in 1 Samuel, there's an episode where the Philistines capture the Ark of the Covenant because Eli's sons, priest Eli and his sons are horrible, and they bring the Ark out to battle and they lose, and the Philistines get it. And you have to read it, but they wind up moving the Ark from each of their main cities. And among their, they have five cities, but Ashdod, Ekron, Gaza, they move it from city to city, hoping that the Ark of the Covenant will strengthen their cities. And it actually destroys, like, everybody's getting sick and stuff. They're being plagued because that Ark belongs to God's people and Philistines had no right to it. Anyway, it moves through each of these towns. Significant because it says here in Joshua that Joshua captured these towns. That these were allotted to Judah and Judah got them. But by the time of 1 Samuel, he was kind of the last judge in the line of the judges. By the time of that, the Philistines have captured him. So what's up? Well, guess what? There's a 400-year gap from Joshua to 1 Samuel. So the Bible is not just one snapshot of just, oh, it's all ancient history. Don't read it that way. Long periods of time happen here, and all sorts of things go back and forth and change and stuff. There's times of growth, and there's times of shrinking. There's times of seeking the Lord, and there's times of falling into sin and idolatry. And these cities are evidence of that. And you can study them and interesting things happening there. All right. verse 54 says, Humta, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior. Well, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. We know this. We just studied Caleb. Caleb captured this. Kiriath Arba is named after Arba, the father of the Anakim, the greatest of the Anakim and all this. is also the same place where Abraham buried his wife Sarah, okay, by the oaks of Mamre. Mamre is the same place as Hebron, as Kiriath Arba. There's such a long period of history between Abraham to Joshua, all the way through this, to it becomes known as Hebron. Hebron. It changed, cities changed their names over time. Same place though. It's an important place. Sarah's buried there. Caleb inherited it, captured it. It becomes the capital city of Judah, the tribe of Judah. David spent his first 7 years as king in Hebron. You remember this. Read your Bible. David became king, but he didn't become king over all of Israel. There was a civil war that went on for about 7 years after David became king between David and a guy named Ishbosheth, who was Saul's surviving son. He was a weak son. He was not a good king, but he was next in line. King Saul falls to his son Ishbosheth, and so there's a civil war in Israel for 7 years in which David was the leader of Judah, and he reigned in Judah out of the city of Hebron. It's probably the greatest city in Judah in that sense, capital city. Absalom, when he tried to rebel against David, his father, started out his headquarters in Hebron also. All right, very important city. Verse 56, another big one, Jezreel. Jezreel is a bloody city. Okay, Jezreel is Jezebel, easy to remember, Jezebel, Jezreel, right? That's where she died. She's thrown out of a window and eaten by dogs, and she deserved it. Ahab's sons, King Ahab, that's Jezebel's husband, her sons, although Ahab would have had sons outside of her too. He also a wicked, horrible, wicked king. They're also buried there, Ahab's sons. Naboth is a man who Jezebel and Ahab killed in order to steal his vineyard because Ahab just liked it. He wanted it. Let's kill the guy and take his vineyard. That happened in Jezreel. Saul and Jonathan were killed in Jezreel. King Josiah probably the greatest king Israel had. He and David, I guess, in different ways were the greatest kings. Josiah was killed in Jezreel. The Valley of Jezreel is sometimes called the Valley of Megiddo, which in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, Har Megiddo is the final battle of all world history, which if I'm understanding it right, that's the same place as Jezreel. It's a bloody city. It's Jezebel, Ahab's sons, Naboth, Saul and Jonathan, Josiah. This is just, it's a place of bloodshed. All right, it's important. verse 60, and then we'll get to 63 at the last verse. Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Reba, two cities and their villages. Okay, Kiriath Jearim, also known as Kiriath Baal. There's another, it's a city that changed its name. Kiriath Baal, Baal is the false god that they always worship. They changed it to Jearim. It's a good positive development, right? The Ark of the Covenant spent time there in 1 Samuel 7. Kiriath Jearim, after the Philistines had captured the Ark and they're plagued by it, they send it back to Israel. It winds up there. It's an important place. There's a kind of a footnote. There's a guy in the book of Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 26. His name is Uriah. He's the son of Shemaiah. Okay, and he's a prophet with Jeremiah. He's one of the few good guys in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a good guy, and he has got a couple good guys. But by the time of them, man, the good guys are getting persecuted heavily. In the book of Jeremiah, it's a time of extreme wickedness. And one of the good guys is named Uriah, and he is killed in Kiriath Jearim. All right, Jeremiah chapter 26. You can read it there, it's mentioned there. All right, now, last verse, verse 63. But the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, could not drive out. So the Jebusites dwell with the people of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. Now there's a phrase at the end, to this day. That's when the book of Joshua was written, which would have been sometime in the time of the Judges. We know that King David, with his second-in-command Joab, captured that city, Jerusalem, and made it the capital city of all of Israel. This is an extremely important city that they were not able to capture in the time of Joshua. It says Judah was not able to capture it. It is a border city on the northern border of Judah with Benjamin. And it's generally attributed to the tribe of Benjamin. but right here in Joshua, it says it would have been allotted to Judah if they could have captured it, and they did not. And obviously, Jerusalem becomes the city, the main city, the center of Bible history, most important city in the Bible on virtually any category. It's where all the kings live. It's where Jesus goes. He's not from there, but he goes there. It's where he's killed. It's where he resurrects, of course. It's not where he ascended. But it's the capital city. Whether it's the best, it's not that it's the best city. It's not that all the good guys live there. And that's not what I'm saying. Just that it's the most important one. It's the Washington, D.C. of the Bible. Okay. For good or for bad, man. Sometimes you love it, you hate it, but it's still there, and it's unavoidable. All right, Judah was unable to capture it; they could not. It's up in the mountains. It's walled. It's hard to get to, and they just could not do it. All right, so I hope by running through that list, breaking it down to a few of them, the ones that I covered for you are not the only noteworthy cities on that list. They're the ones that jumped off at me as I read through it. I'm like, yep, there's a few of these that I know to talk about. Other ones that might be more obscure. And other ones are almost completely obscure. Like, this is the only place they're mentioned in the Bible. And some of them, the historians don't even know exactly where they're located. Now, it does add little notes. Verse 33, for example, in the lowland. Okay, so anything in that little section is going to be a lowland area. It gives certain small geographical pointers, but why don't you look up these cities on your map? Why don't you look up every one of them on your Bible map? Look them up on your device. If your Bible map doesn't have them, it won't have most of them. They're not noteworthy enough. And maybe raise up a son or a daughter and homeschool them and teach them geography and teach them history and archaeology. And maybe they can be the one who goes off to southern Israel someday and discovers one of these Bible places and puts it on the map. For real, that they don't put these on the map by accident. Somebody has to become an historian and an archaeologist and a geographer and find these places. Somebody has to do it, and there's people that are doing it. It could be you. It could be one of your children. Raise up God-fearing people who read the Bible and believe the Bible, and then go out and find these things. There are undiscovered places. There are still discoveries yet to be made. This world, with all of its great knowledge and technology and everything, is we think we're all smart. There's a lot of stuff that we do not know that would be beneficial to learn from. All right, look up the Hebrew. Look up what these city names mean. I didn't get into that at all. I just told you some of the places they occur in the Bible. But each one of these words, it has root words to it. It has Hebrew roots in it that you can find out what it means, and it might shed light on what that city was like or what it was known for. All right, a lot you can study. We're going to go into chapter 16. And we're going to keep carrying through it. We might do that in one of these other tribes and actually look up the meanings of the names or something. But God bless you. Praise the Lord. We've gone on long enough with this. Talk to you later. Bye.